So as I start this morning, I was wondering if any of you get tired. More tired in the sense of being asked to do more, whether it's at your job, whether it's, if you're a mother, at least in our household, our children ask their mother quite frequently for more, even when there's like no more to give. Or maybe it's your spouse asking for more money all the time. I don't know. Do you get tired of people asking for more? I don't know about you, but sometimes it does feel like people are quite dissatisfied, and they are always looking for more from you or from someone else. What's interesting is, so I guess the question is, what is satisfying to you? Is kind of one of the questions I wanted to ask. And then also, at the same time, these words like lacking, deficient, inadequate. I don't know what those words bring up in your spirit, but when I hear those words, I don't think they're very much fun, okay? When I'm reminded of maybe how inadequate I am, how I am lacking in certain things, it kind of makes me depressed sometimes, if I can admit that. And sometimes when you feel like you need to produce something that's impossible to produce, when you feel like you can't give anymore. And both what I said there with these words of lacking, deficiency, and inadequacy, and then also people asking of more, kind of go together, right? So people might be asking you for more and more at your job site or wherever. And it brings on feelings of inadequacy because you feel like you can't produce more and more. And then you are relying on somebody else maybe to be sufficient for you in that case. And then they feel like they're lacking. And so the cycle keeps going on and on and on. And so I think many of us struggle with these ideas and these concepts of being inadequate, or feeling like we're lacking the ability to do our potential. And so how do we do more? There's always more to be done, right? How do we handle the fact that when we can't do more, when we're expected to, maybe somebody's expecting you to do more? How do you do the impossible? These are some questions that I want to explore. I don't know if I'm going to give you the answers outright because they're complicated, I guess. It could be complicated. But I was thinking about these questions when I was reading the scriptures that we're studying this morning, or these questions kind of came to light for me, at least, when I was studying the scripture that we have this week. And the scripture this week is from Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 10. And last week, John gave us the sermon, and he talked about how Jesus had sent out the disciples to proclaim the kingdom of God to the surrounding area. And he sent his disciples out two by two to proclaim the kingdom of God. And he gave them power over demons and power to heal. And I think John said something about therapy. There's this word therapeutic that was used that I thought that was interesting. And so just ministering to people and who they came in contact with and that kind of thing. And so where we pick up the story, many of you are familiar probably with this story of the feeding of the 5,000. Two fish, five loaves of bread, and what happens? Okay. So we pick up this story when the disciples, they're returning to Jesus after they went out, and they're so excited because they did all these wonderful things, and they did all this stuff, and they proclaimed the kingdom of God, and they're coming back, reporting back to Jesus what they had done, what they accomplished, and how things had gone. And so they're coming back, they're reporting back to Jesus everything that they had done. And that's kind of where we pick up in the story. In verse 10, it says, on their return, it's talking about the disciples, on their return, the apostles told him, that is Jesus, all that they had done. So like I said, they're reporting back to him. And he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. So Bethsaida, a small town, and they're like saying, okay, let's get out of here. Let's go find a place where we can debrief. You know, the reachers, when they are out in, you know, all over the world, they come back to Columbus, Ohio, and they debrief. They have a time where they talk about stuff and how did it go and that kind of thing. And this is kind of like that. It's like you're out and you're doing all the work and you come back and you report back. And so that's what's going on. The disciples are talking with each other and with Jesus. And Jesus is like, let's withdraw. Let's get away. Let's just have some time of seclusion, right? But when the crowds learned it, verse 11, they followed him. Of course they do. They followed him and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God. So he continues to teach. And he cured those who had need of healing. So here Jesus is getting away with his disciples. The crowds learn about where they're heading. They catch up. And Jesus is confronted with this crowd, and he continues to teach. He continues to teach about the kingdom of God. What does this kingdom look like? What is this kingdom, and how are you a part of this kingdom? And then he's curing those who have diseases or need healing. Boy, we could use that right now, right? We could use Jesus as the healer in our lives and in this country and in the world. And so he's healing people, and it's exciting. Of course people would go to somebody who can heal. So he's, and it's a big crowd. We'll learn later. It's like 5,000 men. We don't know how many total, but 5,000 men at least. Verse 12, now the day began to wear away. I don't know about you, but I resonate with that phrase. The day began to wear away. As I'm a morning person, and so you know, if I can get at it right away in the morning, get my stuff done as much as possible, by the time lunch comes around, the day begins to wear away. I remember talking to Marvin Groff when we were living right next door to Marvin and Dorothy, and we talked about how, you know, if you can get stuff done in the morning, by the time noon comes around, the rest of the day just kind of takes care of itself. And I find that to be very true. And this phrase, the day began to wear away. And can you imagine? So the disciples are there with Jesus. Jesus is trying to get away, trying to debrief about, you know, everything that's going on, all the excitement. And then you got this huge crowd that's following after Jesus. And the day begins to wear away. The day begins to wear away. I don't know if you guys resonate with that, but the day begins to wear away. That dragging, that you start to feel it. Maybe you're getting hungry, you know? You know what happens when you get hungry and you're in a big crowd and you just want to get away. You start getting hangry. Hunger, anger, yeah, start mixing together. You get hangry. Things are, you know, kind of, the day begins to wear away. I don't know if you resonate with that. I certainly do. And so what happens? The 12 disciples, they come to Jesus, it says. They come to him. The 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place. So they're saying, look, the day's beginning to wear away, Jesus. Come on, there's such a big crowd here. Can we just take a break? Come on, Jesus, you look tired, you know? The day is beginning to wear away. Send these people away. They need to get some food and lodging. Send them away. Makes sense. They're kind of out in the boondocks, like a little town like Canton. You only have so many grocery stores. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. I don't know if Jesus kind of said this in jest. One of the other writers in the other gospel says he said this to test them. So I'm not sure how that came across. You feed them. You give them something to eat. They said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. That previous picture. No more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. What do we do with this? Unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. Here we see the problem, right? You got a bunch of people. It says, I think in the next verse, 5,000 men, and who knows how many children and women. You got a big crowd. And all that they have at the moment is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And so they see this as a problem, right? They see this, they say, you know, this is what we got. And they say, you know what, I mean, okay, we have a solution, and it's kind of far out. Maybe you can give us money, Jesus. Do we have money? Do we have enough money to go out and buy food? And maybe they were saying this again, kind of in a joking way, because they had already just said that, you know, send these guys out because we're kind of in the middle of nowhere and we need to get more food. It would take a while just to get the food back. And so they say, well, you know, maybe Jesus is going to do a miracle. And this is how he should do the miracle. He should just give us enough money so that we can go get the food for everyone. You know, that would work. And how often do we come up with problems, right? We're confronted with an issue, a time where we're in need, maybe. And we say, you know what, Jesus, I know the solution. If you just give me this thing, it'll all be okay. It'll all be okay. And then it's like, God's like, well, that's fine that you think that, but I'm going to handle this a completely different way than you can imagine, all right? I'm going to do this completely opposite of what you think. And that's what Jesus does. So verse 14, it says, for there were about 5,000 men. Okay, I have to stop there. This is interesting to me. Now, maybe I'm reading into the scripture a little bit here, but just bear with me as I take this liberty. It lists how many men were there. The disciples, what did they see? They saw 5 loaves, 2 fish. They saw what they lacked, right? They're looking at what they have and they're saying, this isn't enough. We lack something. It lists here 5,000 men. Again, this is taking a liberty, but in that day and age, and I think even in our current day and age, us men sometimes have issues. We're often looked at, right, as the providers of our family or of people in general. And I'm not downplaying the women's role in that, but as a man, I know what it is. I know what it's like to feel that, you know, to feel like you have to provide. And in our culture, I think it's that way. A lot of times, we as men define our manhood even by how well we provide for our families and how well we can, you know, acquire wealth to give to others, like our children. And I don't know about you, but I struggle with that sometimes. Struggle with feeling inadequate. Like I'm not giving enough, or I'm not providing enough sometimes, or, you know, how am I going to do this? How am I going to provide? And I think many of us struggle with that, particularly men in our world. You know, it's hard these days. Sometimes working 40 hours a week sometimes isn't enough, it seems like. How is God going to provide? I think, so I wanted to speak to men, just because men are listed there. Again, this is kind of taking a little bit of a side note, but what are you relying on? Who are you relying on? Are you relying entirely on yourself, that you can do this? Or is there something more here? Okay, so there's about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. There's a lot of people. So he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. So here Jesus gives a direction to the disciples and saying, you know what, go out and have them sit down in groups, just 50 each. And so that's what they do, right? He gives them a task, they go do it, and so they did so. Verse 15, and he had them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. And this is how he provides. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And they all ate. Here's the miracle. They all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. Jesus takes what they have and he breaks the bread. I don't know about you, but sometimes God just takes what we have and he breaks what we have. And we feel like, what is happening? What is going on? I had this whole thing planned out. And God, you're taking it and you're breaking it. What are you doing? And he performs a miracle. He does something that none of us would have expected. And they are satisfied. And there's even extras, 12 baskets extra of broken pieces. They picked up after themselves. Don't let it go to waste. So what is this talking about? I think you know. Jesus provides for the needs of his people. Jesus is our King, and he provides for us. Not only does he provide what is satisfying, well, yeah, he provides the bread, but he provides what is satisfying to them and to us. And so it goes back to that question, how are you satisfied? By what are you satisfied? Are you satisfied in Jesus? Is Jesus satisfying? See, when Jesus was providing for those crowds, he was doing more than just giving them food. He was doing more than just giving them food. He was showing them that through him, they will be satisfied. And so, are you satisfied? It's a hard question. Is Jesus enough when you don't feel like you're enough? Where is your focus? Is it on what you lack, or is it on Jesus? So often, we are not satisfied with Jesus, I believe. We start to look to everything else to satisfy us. We look to our own accomplishments. So easy to do, right? We look to our professionalism, our status, our good works. And those things, they do give you a certain sense of satisfaction for a time. I don't know if you're like me, but you reach a goal in life and it's like, oh, what's next? There's always something more, to do. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but they're not satisfying in and of themselves. And they're not satisfying eternally, those things. It's good to do things. So while we look at our accomplishments and everything else, do they really satisfy us for eternity? I think that's an important question. The world is grappling with right now in the midst of the chaos of this coronavirus, right? This is a worldwide thing. What do you do when you don't have control? What do you do when you don't know what to do? When you're faced with the reality that you could die? Now, I feel as though I have grappled with this forever. It seems like ever since childhood, I've gone to so many funerals and so many close family members have died that it's always in my face. But that's not necessarily a bad thing because it forces you to face what the future is. What are your priorities? And those kind of things. What do you do when everything is out of control, out of your control? Because you're not enough to save yourself, let alone what everyone else is demanding of you. We need something more. We need someone who is enough. And we know that that is Jesus. Jesus satisfies our deepest needs and our deepest hungers. He is more than enough. How do we answer those questions of when we need to do the impossible? How do you do more? How do you handle the fact that you can't do more when you're expected to? Is Jesus satisfying? Are you relying on Jesus? What are you doing with what is in your hands? Because that's the reality of our what we can do. What has God given you? What job do you have? What talents has he given you? What is in your hands that Jesus is saying, allow me to break it a little bit? Maybe reshape what it looks like a little bit for the kingdom of God so that others can be satisfied in Christ. So we know that Jesus, he can satisfy. We don't always feel it all the time, right? But it's true. And it's true for eternity. When we are faced with our own mortality, he is more than enough. And how did he do this? Well, after this, after he did all these miracles, after he taught the kingdom of God, he went to the cross for you and I. He took our sin, he took our shortcomings, he took our inadequacies, and took our lack and our deficiencies, and he nailed it to the cross. He rose from the grave 3 days later, giving us hope for an eternally satisfying life. Is Jesus satisfying to you? I have to ask this morning, what do you have in your hands? I know Darren talked about this before, you know, the seed in your hand and spreading it. But what do you have in your hands? What has God provided to you? Sometimes when we look at the big picture and we see the crowd of 5,000, you can just so easily become overwhelmed. You look at your day and your children and you're like, maybe they're all sick and you're like, ugh, how am I going to get the laundry done, right? Or you're at your job and you're busier and busier and busier and you're afraid you're going to let your clients down because you have to postpone some things and push work back. And what do you do? Well, what has God given you? What is the task at hand? Sometimes it's good to take a step back and look at the big picture, but sometimes it's also good to say, you know what? What is in my hands? What are you going to take, Lord? How can you use me? Just look at the coronavirus, right? This worldwide pandemic, this thing that we're dealing with. Okay, yes, it's worldwide. There's some panic. I hate to call it a pandemic because it sounds like panic, you know. But we do need to take it seriously. Okay, so God, what have you placed in my hands? And God bless you, nurses. That's all I'm going to say. God bless you. But what does God have in your hands, placed in your hands for a time like this, where you can reach out to your neighbor, where you can talk about these things with others, where you can say, you know what? Yes, this is dangerous possibly, but my hope is in Christ. Are you going to be that witness? Are you going to give others hope? What is in your hands that God is going to take and break and satisfy, eternally satisfy those around you? Are you focused on your lack, or are you looking to Jesus to supply and provide? A simple message, I think, for a time like this. If you are faced today with the reality that you might possibly not be eternally satisfied in Jesus, I ask that you would turn to him, that you would look to him in this moment, that you would repent from your own way and go towards God's way. Follow after Jesus. Turn to him. Say, God, I don't have much to give, but I can give you myself. I can give you what you've given me. Now, how do you want me to use this? What do you want me to do with this? What are the 2 fish and the 5 loaves that you've given to me? And look to Jesus to satisfy. Just open your heart to him and pray with him.